Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. This is the reading of God's word. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh how we do love your word, our heavenly manna. Oh Father, we thank you that we are able to have the confidence that you will fill us, that we will be satisfied because you feed us with Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh Father, give us an ear so that we may hear your voice through your word. Give us the heart so that we may understand and believe and desire to obey you. Oh Father, bless your people who are gathered. We thank you that it is through the ministry of the word that your people are being perfected. They're growing so that we may be like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us, God, as we worship you together and hear your word. Receive all the glory. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we go on to chapter 4, I believe it would be beneficial to all of us to see the contents of these seven letters in a summary form. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus Christ, our Lord himself, is speaking to us, to his church, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the glorious Lord and God, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, he walks among the seven golden lampstands. He is with his church. He holds the seven stars in his right hand. He rules and reigns over us, his church. When he walked among us, he said, I will build my church. Now he who is faithful fulfills his promise and established his church. And as the king of his church, he rules over his people through his ministry, through his church. He blesses his people, leads them, sanctifies them to be more and more like himself. Brothers and sisters, our God loves us, his church. He pours out his love and grace upon us, his church. And through his word in our context, through the seven letters, our Lord praises his church. He rebukes his church. He warns his church and he promises his church. These letters are his word to us. Well, the whole Bible is the word of God to us, his church. Thus, we must pay a careful attention to his word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7b, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I pray that you will hear his loving voice through his word and treasure it in your heart. Put your hope in his promises of heavenly blessings. the rebukes from our Lord to His churches arise because there is something wrong with the relationship between Him and His church, His people. The focus is always on the relationship, the communion, and the fellowship between Jesus and you. How much do we love our Lord Jesus Christ? That is the question. And how do we witness, how well do we witness Christ through our lives? When we put all the rebukes from our Lord together in these seven letters, we could summarize them in this following four things. First, to the church in Ephesus, He said, "You have left your first love." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." So many people, they do Christian activities without love. Without love for the Lord and without love for our neighbors. It becomes legalism. We just do, but we don't love. Even Pharisees, they did much, much more than probably you and me. But they did not have love for Jesus Christ. Second, to the churches in Pergamum and Thyatira, they allow the teachings of Balaam, Nicolaitans, and Jezebel. They allow the false teachings to come into the church. They have failed in defending the truth. Thus, they were not able to have the proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Third, to the church in Sardis, He said, "You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." They are spiritually dead. To them, Jesus says, "Wake up. Wake up. I will come like a thief." They do not have hope in heaven. Their focus is centered on this world. Here and now drives them. Not the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished for them. They are simply not interested in the kingdom of God, but they are interested in this world. And to the church in Laodicea, they are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, always ready to compromise with the world. Their focus is on the wealth and success and comfort of this world and this world only. They do not have the intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Lord they confess. They hate participating in the life of Jesus Christ, the life of suffering and death. According to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 then, the true church of Jesus Christ does these four things. First, they love Jesus Christ. Second, they defend the truth. Third, they focus their eyes on heavenly hope. And fourth, they participate in the life of their Lord Jesus Christ, the life of suffering. Because they were not doing these things, rebukes from the Lord came to them. Thus, if we put these rebukes in the positive form, then we have, first, love Jesus Christ. If you put those rebukes in a positive form, Jesus is telling His church to love Jesus Christ. Second, preach and teach and defend the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Third, focus your eyes upon the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the heavenly reality that Christ has accomplished for us. Fourth, live the life of Jesus Christ. Participate in the life of suffering. Let us pay a careful attention to what Jesus says to us. I would like to ask you and myself these questions today. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you love your Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? What if our Lord is saying to you and saying to me right now, what if He says, you have left your first love? What if that is what He is saying to you right now? Do you know how much He loves you? Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Jesus never left His first love for you. He loves you with all of His heart. He loves you with everything that He has. He gave His life for you. Even before the foundation of the universe, He was ready to die for you. Even before you were born, He was ready to love you with His life. He will never stop loving you. And this is the most serious question we must ask ourselves. Do we love Him? And is that love, is that the dominating factor in your life? Otherwise, you and I were just wasting time. We're wasting our lives. I seriously do not want that to happen to you, happen to me. Because if it is not for loving Christ, is meaningless. And don't realize that when Jesus returns, don't realize that when it's about time to die, realize it right now. And devote your whole life in loving Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you love the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love the truth? Do you love His word? Without it, you will never be able to love Him properly. Without it, you will never be able to know Jesus, whom you say you love dearly. Without it, you will never know how much He loves you. Without the Word, you will never know what pleases Him. It tells us the beautiful love story of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love story of God. It tells us what that love made God to do for you. Do you love this word? Does your life show that you love this word? Do you treasure this word? Or Sunday morning is the only time you ever open this book? Understand, brothers and sisters, it is His word. You hear His voice through this word. You know, when we have a truly good friend, you want to hear. That's why we are so happy when he or she calls. To love His word is to love Him. Brothers and sisters, is there a joy in reading and hearing and meditating upon His word? Again, we need to examine ourselves. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you love heaven? Do you love heaven? Or you are so busy loving this world, you have no time for it. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 through 4, therefore if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Do you love heaven, brothers and sisters? The place where we will live with Christ forever. Do you love that place? The place where we are able to love Jesus Christ perfectly. The place where we are able to obey Him perfectly. The place where we are able to please Him perfectly in everything that we do. the place where we will be able to see Him face to face. Do you love heaven? The place where we are able to have the perfect, sweet, heavenly communion with Him who is our eternal joy. The place where we are His delight forever and ever, and He is our delight forever and ever. The place where we will never sin again. Do you love heaven? Do you love your eternal home that Christ has accomplished, Christ has prepared for you? Can you say with the author of the book of Hebrews, when he said this in chapter 13, verse 14, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." It is your eternal home. Brothers and sisters, there's no rest in this world. You think you go home and you are resting. Think again. Do you love your eternal home? Do you know that we are going home? Or are you like those Israelites who want to go back to Egypt? Who are so ignorant that they wanted to go back to Egypt. They just don't understand what has happened. They don't understand the true reality. They just want to go back to Egypt. And they say, "When I was in Egypt, I was able to eat meat." The utter ignorance of these people of what God has accomplished for them. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you love His life of suffering and death? Is it your glory to participate in that life? Is it your joy and honor to participate in His life? Like Moses, Hebrews 11 verse 25 through 26, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Do you understand the life of Moses? Do you understand the life of Christian? Don't be deceived, Christ, His bride, His people. This world will deceive you, thinking that there's something good in this world, that it is worthy for you to seek. Again, don't realize how meaningless this world is too late. Realize it now. It was Moses' delight to participate in the sufferings of Christ. It is our honor to live the life of Christ and His life pattern. Can be summarized in this: sufferings here and glory in heaven. And no non-Christians will want this. Suffering here and glory in heaven. That was life pattern of Christ. Do you desire it? Do you want it? God invites you to this glorious life. I pray that all of us will hear His voice. Do you love me? He says. Just like how He said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love my word? Do you love the salvation and eternal home that I have accomplished for you? Do you love my life? This is not something that you could hold off in answering. Christian life is difficult, but it is worth it. Oh yes, it is worth it. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? All this is God's call for you to be like your Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be faithful until death. The Church of Christ is invited to live the glorious life of her Lord Jesus Christ, who was faithful until death. And to live that life is our glory and honor. It is our joy. This is what our religion is all about. It's to love God and be faithful to Him until death. That is why in the seven letters He always says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If that ear is not given to you, then it will be just noise. Maybe even noise that will make you uncomfortable. But those who have been given this ear, it is joy to hear this. God's calling, His invitation to live the glorious life of Christ. Matthew chapter 13. Let us go there together. Brothers and sisters, don't get tired, but endure with joy. Let's read verse, starting from verse 24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, the enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Go down to verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Yes, even in this visible church, both wheat and tares are together. And sometimes you see more tares than wheat. And sometimes from those tares, you see the false pictures of Christianity. And you be deceived, thinking that their ways are true Christian. But don't be deceived. These people, tares, will seek easy life, wealth and success in this world and this world only. They don't care about heaven, they only care about this world. They don't love Christ, they love themselves. They don't care about the gospel. But do not follow them. You have to endure. God says, leave them together until the time of harvest. And that's how it's going to be. Endure, brothers and sisters. Why does not God just get rid of evil in the world? Not only in the world, but also in the churches, we have tares and they will persecute us. But it is to protect us. It is to train us. It is to help us to have faith. Faith. John 15 verse 18 through 20, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But brothers and sisters, understand that the kingdom of God is growing. God's plan is being carried out exactly according to His will. Why does He just let tares be? Why? Why does He just let this evil world go on? Well, it will not go on forever, but it will go on until that time. But why does He let that? Go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 verse 9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Here's people of God who have died and been persecuted because of their faith. They're crying out to God, How long are you going to let this go on? And God's answer, verse 11, And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. How long? So the rest of the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, they will be persecuted and they will be martyred. Until that time, it will go on. So the number of martyrs will be fulfilled. So that brother and that sister will have opportunity to glorify God and receive glory because of Christ. We don't want to take away that opportunity for that dear brother and dear sister. Yes, it has to go on until that number is fulfilled. Oh, just beautiful gospel. God letting His people to be like Him. Even how they die, to be like Him. The blessedness of the gospel. Until all of His people will have the honor to participate in their Lord's suffering. Acts chapter 9 verse 4, when God came to Saul, Paul, even though Paul never met Jesus, Jesus asked Paul, Why are you persecuting me? Brothers and sisters, let us pay a careful attention to his warning against his church. I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Removing this lampstand, becoming useless. Of course, we are not talking about this in terms of this world. We're talking about being useless to the kingdom of God. Yes, those people might be so useful to this world, but useless for the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, are you focusing on being useful to this world? Is that your life is all about just to be useful to this world? Or are you focusing to be useful in the kingdom of God? Removing the lampstand. Oh, but they are so effective in a worldly terms. But you have to seriously think again. Just because you are successful in this world doesn't mean God had not removed the lampstand. Know that even before the final judgment, this kind of temporary judgment will come to His churches in this world. And pray very hard that this will not happen to Christ in heaven. OPC. Remember what He said, brothers and sisters, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. God is commanding you, but I beg you, repent. Repent. Because I know you and I, everything that we have done so far, only thing that remains is repent. Repentance. Because we haven't done anything right. But brothers and sisters, also remember His promises to you. His promises to His church. Let me read those promises. There are 7 promises. Chapter 2, verse 7, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Chapter 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. Chapter 2, verse 26. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. At the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Chapter 3, verse 5, He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Chapter 3, verse 12, He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Chapter 3, verse 21, He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He promises you heaven, because nothing in his promises is of this world. Brothers and sisters, he is not promising you anything of this world other than the sufferings with Christ. Please, brothers and sisters, wake up to the truth. He's not promising you anything of this world. Even when we studied the Lord's Prayer, He taught us to pray. And all those things that we are taught to pray, there is nothing of this world that we are to pray for. And here in 7 letters, there's nothing that God promises you that are of this world. Do not expect something from the Lord when He did not promise you. Because when that happens, you will complain. Yes, you will complain. just like those Israelites. But when you truly understand the gospel, our God is so faithful in giving us what He has promised, we are completely satisfied because He did not lie to us. These things do not excite you? These promises do not excite you? Oh, maybe you rather Him promise you better job tomorrow, better grade tomorrow. But that is not what our religion is all about. Because it's about loving Christ. In spite of all those, we love Christ. Or because of what He truly gave us, let us love our Lord Jesus Christ, His word, His kingdom, and His life. Realize, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are blessed beyond description. You are blessed beyond description. You are invited to live the life that is a participation in the glorious life of Christ. And brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. John chapter 14 verse 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Chapter 16, John, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Do not be afraid, but see with your eyes of faith, see Him, see your Lord. See Jesus Christ, who holds the seven stars, who holds His church, who holds you in His hand. Revelation 21 and 22 will be completely consummated. It will be visible. Jesus will appear once again, and this time with glory and power. And He will come to gather all of you to His glorious kingdom. And spiritually, it is already our reality. We have already been gathered to His glorious place. Brothers and sisters, you must believe. You must believe. Let us be faithful to this glorious King and God until death. And join John in crying out, O Lord, come quickly. We want to behold the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Wonderful and beautiful, glorious promises of God is for you. Enjoy what you already have in Jesus Christ. And be satisfied. For nothing out there in the world will satisfy you. Oh, it will deceive you. Make you think that it will satisfy you for a little while. But you will realize later, just like Solomon, meaningless. Utterly meaningless. Love Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your glorious promises. Oh Father, we thank you that those promises are already amen to us in Jesus Christ. We already possess them. They are our heavenly, spiritual, heavenly, present reality in Jesus Christ. Let us enjoy what you have given to us. Let us enjoy the blessings of heaven that we have in Christ. Let us enjoy you as you give yourself to us. Oh Father, work in us. Let us love you. Let us love you as we believe that one day we will love you perfectly in that glorious place. That faith, that hope will make us purify ourselves. Oh Father, we love you and come quickly. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.